Our gracious Father, on this Pentecost Sunday, we pray that the gospel will always continue among our nation, and the means of grace will remain available to all your people here. And in spite of all what's going on in our society, in our very nation, we pray, Father, we beg that you that do not remove the lampstand of Christ's church. That churches around their Lord, that they would rise up, that they would be a light and be a salt, and they would lead a life to be the main peacemakers. God, we pray that you would lead us into repentance. We pray, Father, that you would be glorified in the midst of this chaos. Oh Lord, we thank you for your abundant and undeserved blessings on our country. You have been so gracious to us for so many years, Father. And yet, Father, we have been so unthankful in so many ways. We have shown ungrateful attitude in with all that's going on, Father. Lord, we humbly ask for your mercy toward our nation. Since our every blessings depends on your grace, your abundant grace. Our national iniquities testify against us. We have sinned against you. Yet for the glory of your name, we pray, Father, that you will not forsake us nor abandon us. May your people rise up, Father, in humility, that we would truly humble ourselves, that we would turn to you, that Jesus Christ is the only hope with all this chaos, with all this noise that's going on in our society. It's out of control. It's in turmoil. God, I pray that we would confess our need for you. So we pray, dear Lord, that we need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. May you grant us ears to hear. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would indeed be on our knees, pleading and begging for what's going on in our society today. With all the looting and the killing, God, have mercy upon this nation. We pray, Father, for that you would provide healing to this land, healing to those who are hurting, to those who are devastated with the loss of their loved ones because of this chaos. And I pray, Father, for those businesses who have lost their livelihood because of looting and all these things. We pray, Father, you provide for their needs, that they too will turn to you, that they would seek your presence, that they would trust you. I pray, Father, you would convict our hearts, that you would open our eyes, that you would stir us to repentance and to godliness. God, that we are coming to you, Father, in prayer. We thank you that we can knock on the door to come to you boldly and courageously to the throne of your grace. And so, Father, we cast our cares on you because you care for us. God, we're not even done with this pandemic yet. But Lord, people are still in the hospitals and still affected with this pandemic, this coronavirus. So Father, we thank you for our healthcare workers who are continually being in the front lines and caring and helping those who are in need. We remember those who are in our church family, Father. So I pray that you would watch over them, that you would provide the strength that they need, that you would protect them from any sicknesses, So Father, we thank you. And we thank you indeed for this Pentecost Sunday that we are able to celebrate together here corporately. God, what an amazing grace. We thank you for all this past 11 weeks that had passed. We are grateful for every week that had passed, Father. You have strengthened us. You have enabled us to see where we are in our weaknesses. God, we thank you for drawing us even closer to you. For granting us the ability to be in your word in a daily basis, which we have not in the past. There are so many things, Father, for us to reflect on in this past 11 weeks of not gathering together in person. Now here we are. We thank you, Father, for making a way. We thank you, Father, for protecting us all this time. And so, Father, we rejoice in your kindness, in your goodness to us. We thank you, Father, for the wisdom you have given to us that we are able to gather together. We pray, Father, that you would use us for the furtherance of your kingdom. That we would continue to be a light and be a salt. That we would continue to make much of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we give you glory and we praise you, Father. And Lord, even as we come into your word, as we study together, we pray for the working of your Spirit, that you would open our eyes, that we may behold the wonderful things out of your law, that you would convict us, that you would reveal your Spirit in us, Father. That when we leave this place, God, that we have been transformed because of your word. So lead us. So we rejoice, Father, in all the things that you have done for us. We give you praise and we thank you for this time. In the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and everyone said, amen and amen. Well, amen. Well, happy birthday to all the May celebrants, right? And congratulations to May for graduating, right? MD, amen. For my son to be getting promoted now, moving to middle school, praise God. And my daughter Abigail is also graduating soon in Oregon, University of Oregon. So praise God, amen. So are you guys glad here today? Amen. So we got one visitor today, David Ortiz, another Ortiz. All right. Praise God. Good to see you, brother. It's been a long time. Praise God that you guys are here. I'm so happy that you're all here. And of course, we still have family members are still watching online. Praise God that they're participating. They're still connected with us. So I'm thankful for them as well. Amen. And I can't wait for every one of us to come here and everybody here present. So praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and turn our attention to the book of Hebrews. I decided to change the message for today, just today, as we have been going through the book of 1 John for the last couple of weeks. It looks like Talitha is still holding on. And so she's still inside the womb. Right, so praise God, got to see Rachel for a few seconds there outside in the parking lot. So I'm thankful for that. I thought this whole time they were in the hospital, right? And so I was wrong. So, but praise the Lord that they're here. Nash and Rachel and Johnny are here with us in the parking lot and worshiping with us outside. So praise God. So let's go ahead and stand with me for the reading of God's word. We will start on chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And starting on verse 19. But our main passage for today will be verse 24 and 25. But we will read from verse 19. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and this is what the word of God says. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Praise be to God for the reading of His word. You may all sit down. If you turn real quick to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 13. In Hebrews says, chapter 3, verse 13, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as it is in the rebellion." So let me start with this question today. What are some ways you have been encouraged to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus Christ? What are some ways you have been encouraged to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus Christ? So I just want you to think for a second and just write it down, and how people have come alongside through text, you know, the last couple of weeks, right? We have experienced just everything virtual. Everything away from, we're not seeing in person. Well, we tried at least, right? One of the blessings that we've had this couple of weeks, you know, just today, me and my daughter Daniela were walking from the grocery store. Guess who we see, right? We meet Ilim on the street, right? So I haven't seen her for a couple of weeks. Yes, I have visited her at her house, and I get to see her this morning on the street. So praise God for that, right? And there are other times where when you guys are on your grocery shopping, you've met some of our church family members. That's kind of strange, right? But yeah, we haven't met together in the church, but praise God, even so. So it's really a blessing. And when I think about how people have come alongside to encourage, to help you grow in your relationship, to go deeper in your relationship with Christ, I'm sure you could think of so many things. What would be that one thing that really pops up in your mind this last couple of weeks that you have been encouraged to grow, right? And that's something that I want us to see. Because at times when, especially when we are away from gathering together, and this is something, and this is what I want us to see, what this passage really encourages us to do. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. One thing that we know, that being a follower of Christ, being a Christian in Christian life is what? It's hard. Right? Christian life is hard. I know I'm not shocking you with the truth that I'm saying. I'm sure you can think of ways that being a Christian is really challenging and difficult. You know that being a Christian is not easy. We are constantly at war, mainly against our flesh, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. But the enemy is constantly prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking who he might devour as well, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Right? And how we need to be ready, because why? The enemy is ready. And so that's why we need to be in the Word. We need to be in prayer. Even especially with what's going on in our society, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 will speak very loudly to us. On top of that, we live in a world filled with other selfish people. Most people around us are ensnared by the devil, captured by him to do his will, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. These people are violently pursuing self-fulfillment, and most hate it when Christians speak against sin, against what they're doing, against their lifestyle. Most Christians are experiencing trials, afflictions, challenges of some kind, left and right. So when you think about that for a moment, you as a follower of Christ, I'm not sure where you are right now. I'm not sure if you're facing any kind of affliction or trials or difficulties in your life. When we are not in trial, we are either recently coming out of one or going into one. So yes, Christian life is hard and it's difficult. See, most young parents are overwhelmed with the responsibility of parenthood. Some young people are struggling to find contentment in their current job or their relationship status. Some older parents are discouraged over their children or maybe struggling in their marriage relationship, and some seniors are struggling through coping with their failing bodies and all these ailments that they're feeling. Some are stressed, some are depressed dealing with this pandemic. And yes, for the last couple of days, people are dealing with racism, riots, and looting. In other words, life is just plain hard. It is already difficult when we're facing a pandemic. Now, all of a sudden, these things comes up as a nation. Now, it's even more challenging for us. It's scary out there if you go to LA. They're in a lockdown, right? They're in a curfew. Sure, there are a lot of joys when we think about being a follower of Christ too. We don't not just thinking about the difficulties and the trials, but there are a lot of joys, amen? Yes, there are a lot of joys. When you think about this last 11 weeks, what are the joys in your life? What God has shown you that He has been so faithful and that He will continue to be faithful in your life? So the question is, what do we do? How do we thrive throughout those difficulties, the challenges? So how do we overcome those things? Well, one way, the writer of Hebrews says, is by surrounding ourselves with believers who encourage us. That's my message today. Right? When you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, despite of what you're going through in life, despite of what you're going through in your life at this very moment, whatever you are facing with, know this. If only you surround yourself with believers, and you will find encouragement. Because we need each other, amen? I need you, you need me. We need each other to live this life, especially as a follower of Christ. And that's something special about us as children of God, that we are not struggling alone. Can I tell you that? If you're a Christian, you feel like, you know, I'm struggling, I'm all by myself for the last couple of weeks and I need help. If you're a Christian, reach out. I'm not gonna know what's happening in your life until you tell me. Yes, I can tell you, you know what, brother, you know what, sister, I am praying for you. But you got to tell me what's going on, so I can come alongside and encourage you and build you up, so you will not be in that predicament. So that's what the writer of Hebrews, the author, the preacher of Hebrews, is telling us here. For 23 verses leading up to this verse 24 and 25, the author is talking about how Jesus has paid the price for our sins, that He has entered into the most holy place with His blood, paying the price for our sins so that you and I can enter where? Look at this. Enter into the most holy place. The curtain has been what? Been torn. That is something that you and I can rejoice as followers, as a child of God. So let me encourage you. We have access to God. You do not need me, amen? You do not need a priest for you to have access to our Heavenly Father. We can draw nearer to God. And I'm sure you have experienced that for the last couple of weeks. That you have drawn closer to God. And if you have not, what a great opportunity for you to do that just even right now. So that's the glorious truth, that we have access to God, that we can draw nearer to God. But then, flowing right from that, the author of Hebrews says, so let us encourage each other. Let's motivate one another. Let's stir one another up to love and good works. Let's meet together. Let's encourage one another. That's what the author, that's what the preacher of Hebrews is telling us. After all those things in 23 verses, in what we have in Jesus Christ, because of what he has done for us on the cross. And it says, you need one another. You need to meet together. One of my heartache as a pastor is not to be able to see you in a regular basis, right? The first couple of weeks, I'm like, oh, okay, we'll just hang in there. As the weeks went by, it's just like, Lord, I'm pleading. I miss your people because I know we need each other. I need them. They need me. So that's what the author of Hebrews is telling us, look, let's motivate one another. Let's encourage one another. And I just think about the implications of our relationship with Christ individually for our relationship with one another in the church. So we, every one of us in Christ, has full access to God. So based on that, we encourage one another to grow closer to God. We live to help others grow in their relationship with God. To stir them up toward love and good works. Right? That's what we're called to do. That's what we're commanded to do. To encourage. When you are down, you're there to what? To encourage them. Not some, say some positive vibes. What's that about? As a Christian, that should not be your thing. You're in Christ. Your motivation is a scripture, not some positive vibes, not based on your attitude, but because on what Christ has done on the cross, we have access to God. That's our way for us to encourage one another. So we're called to live to help others grow. We meet with each other and we encourage one another in faith. So don't approach church with a me attitude, right? Now that as we come to church, as you have been a believer for all these years, I hope that your mindset that when you walk into the church, when you walk into this building, you don't have this attitude, it's about me. What are you going to do for me? What are you going to give me? What am I here for? But our approach church seeking how you can steer and help each other as in love and good works. I want to encourage you to see your church with this perspective. Every Sunday, maybe at other times during the week, and let your motivation be, how can I glorify God by encouraging the people in this church? That's the attitude, church. That's the mindset. That's the biblical perspective. That when you belong to a local church, amen. And so your mindset, your perspective of being in the local church is, how can I glorify God by helping one another, by helping my brother, by helping my sister in Christ? Don't let it be, how can I be served by this church? How can I go and attend the programs and have my needs met, right? Is that the attitude that you have when you are in a local church? It is something that you want rather than giving yourself to others. So I want to encourage you, don't go with that approach. Don't come with a me attitude. It's like what we see around us today. So we go with approach of saying, how can I encourage my brothers and my sisters? I'm going on Sunday to gather with a church, and I'm going to meet together with other followers of Christ in this church. Man, can I tell you how glad I am to see you? Are you glad to see each other all this time? Yes. I know you guys have your mask, so you guys won't be able to say, right? So can you write this question down? How can I encourage my brothers and my sisters? Who can I pray for? Who can I build up? How can I stir others to love and good works? How can I help them grow in their relationship with Christ? That's our attitude as a followers of Christ. Whether we meet in person or online, right? And that's something that's so difficult for me to grasp, that we have been meeting online. It's like, there's more. Because we are created to be what? To be together, to be in face-to-face with one another. What happens when an entire community of people gathers together regularly with that on their minds? We all have access to God through Christ, so we're going to spur one another on toward Christ. That is God's design for the church. Few things encourage my heart more than seeing the people here at Resolve Bible Church ministering to one another. Can you testify to that? Has your heart been encouraged the last 11 weeks? Even though we were not meeting in person, but I'm so encouraged when I see someone, and so is visiting so and so. Does that make sense? Right? That's a beautiful picture. And I'm thankful for every one of you that have taken the time to encourage your brothers and your sisters. That's an encouragement. Amen? And that just tells you that you miss them. You have taken the time to bring something to them, or just, you know, say hi. Right? The second week when I visited a family member, and a young girl in our church, she wanted to hug me. She ran to me, and I was like, and I couldn't hug her back. Right? I felt bad for that, because I could not. But just the attitude in itself for her to come, right? And our youngest boys, right? We visited his family one time, and he's standing there, and he saw my son, and he wanted to run towards him. That's the kind of attitude. We have this excitement of seeing one another. But for you guys to be able to, and I could testify this, and I'm encouraged, can I tell you that? What you guys have done for one another, and how you guys are ministering to one another, it really encourages my heart. My heart is encouraged often when I hear so-and-so brother or sister is visiting and praying and discipling and doing all this to one another. Don't stop. Keep doing it. Keep at it. So my call to Resolve Bible Church family, because of this pandemic, I truly understand some families are not ready to join us in person fellowship. Right? This is where we display grace and love to one another. So for those who are not able to make it, those you see that are not here yet, it's okay. Right? Let's encourage them. Tell them we miss them in person fellowship. Yes, we're able to meet together. Praise God. Right? Let's not neglect our brothers and sisters who are still there, right? I mean, 2 days ago, I'm overhearing this conversation with my wife, with some of our church members, right? Because in the front lines, they don't want to come to church yet in person. Why? Because they're protecting us. Praise God for their being what? Selfless. They're thinking about us, right? So I'm thankful for that. So praise God for that. So let's respect each other. So I'm respecting their decisions of not being here for the moment, right? I miss them, yes? So whether we are meeting online or in person, it is important that you fellowship for your own and for the good of your brothers and sisters. We need each other. And that's my call to you, right? We don't know how long this will last. There are churches that are larger than us. They're not able to meet by the numbers. So let's continue to meet online virtually, right? I want to encourage you, let's grow that ministry. Let's grow that fellowship. Continue to meet with us. We have two Bible studies on Tuesdays. Attend one. Participate in one. On prayer meeting, we have that. On Bible study, I praise God for our young people, even as far as Japan. Right? Jimmy is attending our Friday night youth. Right? As far as Maine, the Methodists are still fellowshipping with our young people. Praise God. So all these things are happening, and they're still fellowshipping. They're encouraging one another. So I'm thankful for that. So the church must be a sanctuary for the Christian. You must be such a great encouragement that you become a breath of fresh air for those who speak to you. We should confront sin, of course, and push people towards holiness. And that's something that we've been studying in the book of 1 John. If you're really a true believer and a follower of Christ, right? There's that opportunity for us to encourage our brothers to walk rightly before a holy God. And that's something that we have to keep on doing. As life goes on, as time goes on, we can tend to become less thankful for our salvation. But the writer of Hebrews calls us to be different. So the question for you today is, would people around you think of you as an encourager? Would people around me think of me as an encourager? Do they walk away from a conversation that with you spiritually enriched and closer to Christ? Do you have a selfless mindset when you come to church? Do I have that mindset? The mindset of being selfless and thinking about others? You know why I'm crazy about the name Barnabas? Right? There's a reason why whoever is pregnant, I want to say, hey, can you name your child Barnabas? Too bad, Talitha. Maybe the next one, Nash and Rachel. In place of looking for a Barnabas, you know what that name means? An encourager. So don't just because it sounds bad or sounds ugly. The meaning, the biblical meaning of Barnabas is an encourager. Let's have a Barnabas ministry. Right? I love that. Why not decide to be a Barnabas or someone else, right? It is imperative that we adopt this mindset, and that we, even at times, we get more and more hostile towards true believers. We learn to grow in our encouragement for the sake of our own good and for the good of others. And by the way, when unbelievers visit and hear about the way we love and encourage each other, the Bible says that they will become jealous in a good way. And some will even become Christians. The church should be the most encouraging place on earth, and it all starts where? It starts with you. Right? It starts with you. It starts with me. What I'm saying is that the church should be the most encouraging place on earth. My prayer, my desire for our church, for Resolve Bible Church, when people see us, when unbelievers hear about our fellowship, that God will use our testimony for His glory and for our good. That they too would be attractive to our fellowship and the things that we're doing. As we turn our attention to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, the preacher encourages all believers to be active participants. A passage we usually rush to find when someone who claims to be a Christian but doesn't attend church. A lot of people would use this and attack so-and-so, right? Instead of doing that, why don't you find out what's going on? Why is that person, why is your brother or sister not attending church, instead of condemning that person or your brother or sister? while it certainly is a go-to, don't skip church passage, it is much more, right? So that's not what I'm here to do today, right? So let me give you five commands. Number one, the first thing we must do is prepare for Sunday gathering. If you see in verse 24, it says, and let us consider, the word consider, in verse 24 implies that we need our minds to be engaged on Sunday gathering. That means that our minds must be what? Must be alert. This implies that we need to be in a top shape and ready. I don't think it is a stretch to say that we will not be able to be fully alert on Sunday service unless we get a good what? A good night's sleep. Right? I mean, the good thing about our church is we start late. Right? And so if our church service started at 8 a.m. or 9, or 10 a.m., how many of you actually wake up at 7 a.m. and get your heart ready? Right? So, right? Even on Saturday night, get your heart ready. Right? Consider that. So let us consider. So it's about that preparation. So we need to be rested. And not only because we are better sermon listeners, but because we are more alert and eager to serve and encourage others when we hug them. Right? When we see them. Well, right now we can hug each other. Right? So one thing that you prepare yourself is what? Get some a good night rest the night before. Right? Why? And prepare your heart and mind. The very reason that you're preparing yourself is to encourage your brothers and sisters. And of course, listen to the sermon, right? Amen? I think it's implied that we are prepared for church in this passage. That means that we're not scrambling to get everything ready to get out of the door on Sundays for Sunday service. How many of you rushed out to church, out to your house today to go to church today? Right? Think of ways to be prepared for worship. And that's something I want to challenge you. I think one of the difficult part of the last couple of weeks, I don't know about you, but for me, when we've been worshiping online, right, you don't even bother to change. Let's just be honest, right? We just, you know what, let's go have coffee, let's have cake, let's have this. You got all this distraction in your house, right? Talk to me now, right? I mean, how many of you really have sat down in all these 11 weeks, right? How many of you really prepared your heart? You know what? It's Sunday. Let's get to it. Let's turn off all these things. Let's turn off the microwave. Turn off what you're cooking, right? You know what I'm talking about. I'm not speaking to the choir. Or am I? Another key aspect is to have our minds thinking about the Lord and others rather than worldly things. Right? Doing some Netflix binge watching right before church is probably not the best thing to do. Right? We're probably going to be wondering what will happen to our favorite character rather than how we can be serving our fellow brothers and our sisters. Can I get an amen? Right? I mean, am I stepping on toes right now? In what we're watching the night before, instead of thinking. So I want us this mindset, right? Here's a new mindset for us when we come to church, right? There's a reason why I text, I post what I'm preaching the day before, weeks before, right? Or that week, so you can pray, so you can read the Bible passages and get yourself ready. There's a reason why I do that. There's an expectation for you as a listener, as someone who will come and hear the word of God being preached to your heart. So you got to do some part. I mean, how many of you get ready for your work and you're not even late? If you're late at work, what happens? You stress out like crazy, right? When you wake up for school, what happens when you're late? But yet, when it comes to a church, when it comes to what matters most, but yeah, when we have all these worldly things, we're so caught up with those things. But yeah, when we can't even do this. Do you think about how you can be a blessing to your brothers and sisters on your way to church? Do you think about that way? Or you're just like, you know what? I can't wait for Pastor Reedy to get done with 1.5 hours of preaching, and then we can just have dinner. Or do you come to church and thinking, Lord, use me today? There might be some brothers or sisters who just walked in today, and they may be going through something in their life. Can you help me, Spirit? Number two, whereas we are instructed to constantly practice thinking of others. So let us consider how. The word how is loaded here. This isn't just showing up at church and unloading what we learned this week in our times with the Lord. This is a consideration of exactly what our friends need. It means that it varies from person to person. We actually have to get to know the people around us and know what we need to encourage them. So we need to take time, right? We need to know what's happening. We need to sit down with them. That is the word how. So many times as Christians, we are so focused on ourselves that we have no idea how to provoke the people around us towards godliness. We're so focused on ourselves that we can't even take time and get to know that our brother or sister in Christ to encourage them toward godliness. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 captures this idea perfectly. So turn your Bible with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, this is what the Word of God says, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. It tells us to be patient no matter what, but it also teaches us to treat people differently based on what they need. We must be actively studying and caring for the people around us in order to properly care for their souls. How active are you, church, of learning and studying your brothers and sisters? It takes works, amen? It takes a lot of effort and being intentional of coming alongside of our brothers and our sisters. It takes that how. The how part in our lives. Number three, we are told to pursue each other. We are told to pursue each other. Number three, it says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. The word stir up is usually used in the negative. It is provoking a strong pushing. It is challenging someone to go somewhere where they don't naturally want to go. In our flesh, we don't naturally want to do good works, right? We're all prone to wonder. We need to pursue each other and push each other to be godly. Brothers, can I speak to you for a moment? The brothers in our church, this is my burden for our church. And I want to encourage you. I want to come alongside to you as your pastor. May I speak to our brothers in our church today? Whether you're here in person or even online, we need to take the lead on this in our household. Amen? Be convicted with that. I mean, if you're a single brother, and this is what you need to be doing now, being, learning the truth of God. But if you're married, if you are to ask your wife right now, if you were to ask your children right now, how are you leading me to the truth of God? Brothers, where are you in your walk with God? How's your prayer life? How's your being in the Word of God? How's your fellowship with one another? How are you coming and doing that in your own home and then doing that here in our local church? Whether it be virtually or even here in person now. Where are you in that, my brothers? We have fellowship. Where are you? Join us. We need each other. We need you. It hurts us when you're not in our fellowship. Amen? It should make you wonder why you're not participating in that area. I mean, we all have blind spots. I mean, on your own, you can learn more about God. You can grow in your love for God, but at the same time, you must realize that you can't see everything on your own. We need each other. I have blind spots, you have blind spots, we need each other. In order to grow in the Christian life, not only do you have to spend time alone with the Lord, but you must also be around other believers. You must be around other believers. You need each other. I need you, you need them, and guess what? They need you. And they need you to be on top of your game as a follower of Christ. Right? You see all these NBA players, they get ready, they stay in shape, right? This pandemic doesn't bother them, they're still on top of their game. Right? They're doing something because when the game starts, they're ready. But what about us as followers of Christ? What are we doing? How are we neglecting? Are we neglecting our spiritual life? How are we caring for our souls? Are we fellowshipping? If we are harboring sin in our lives, even in our private lives, then we are definitely not growing in our walk. And if we are not growing in our walk, we will not be able to stimulate others around us to good works. Also, harboring sin causes us to be selfish and diminishes the chances that we will show up for the gathering ready to serve others. Right? If there's sin in your life, right, it's difficult for us to come alongside and encourage and motivate others to do God's work. Right? So you and I need to be in top shape. We need each other. We need to confess. We need to repent of our sin. Number four, we are commanded to make priority, right, our gathering. Make it a priority. This the gathering that we have in a weekly basis. In verse 25 says, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. We're commanded to make it a priority. Make our gathering a priority. Look with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 33 and 34. Verse 33 says, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated, for you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession, an abiding one. So verse 34, 33, and 34 tells us that the people he was writing to, they had experienced what? Serious persecution. This is what this book is about. Some lost their houses, others they've lost their lives, and so the temptation to stay home would have been strong. And yet, in the face of these very serious scenarios, the writer, the preacher of Hebrews, warns them not to miss out on any of the gathering. And despite the fact that they suffered real persecution, they were less likely to skip church than the average Americans. And that's a mind-boggling. Some Christians then, as well as today, were in the habit of not going to the church meetings. For whatever reason, these believers were trying to survive on their own. This individualistic attitude is prevalent today as well. God did not design Christians to be completely independent of each other. However, He designed believers to need and encourage each other. That's how God design us, right? I mean, I hope that you know that how God designed us, for us to need and encourage one another. And I want you to say this: I'm here to encourage you. Can you say that? I'm here to encourage you. Amen. I need you. I need you. I need you to tell me if I'm sinning. Amen? I need you to tell me, right? Not just my wife telling me that I'm sinning. I need you to tell me. We need each other to encourage each other, church. To withdraw from corporate strength is to invite disaster. Like a soldier in battle who lags behind the rest of his platoon and becomes an easy target. Can I tell you this? One of the encouragements that I've seen, and I encourage my family not to turn on the TV today, because with all the chaos, with all the looting and all the bad things that I saw, right? But this one thing that I was so encouraged to see, there was this one police officer. He got left behind with the rest of his platoon, not platoon, but right, with the rest of his colleagues. And we got all these civilians guarding him. You see how that worked? They protected him because there were some bad people are ready to hurt this officer. But you have this man, shoulder to shoulder, locked up, helping that man. Well, more for us as a church, caring for one another. When we see someone who's falling into sin, when someone who is struggling in their lives, we're to come alongside. We're to encourage, they need us, I need them. So can I tell you this? We should fight for our time with our brothers and our sisters. We should fight for our time to be with our brothers and our sisters. Forget the Netflix. Forget all the movies that you've been watching. You know what? It's Tuesday. I have an option where to attend Bible study. Amen? You have that options. You have Wednesday night. You have Friday night. You have other fellowship. Grow in the grace and knowledge of God by being with God's people. You should fight. It is absolutely crazy to skip church or fellowship in a weekly basis. Can I tell you that? You have a pastor who has most likely spent hours studying a passage of scripture for the sole purpose of encouraging you to be what? Why am I studying? Why am I asking Junior? Why am I asking Nash? Why am I asking, right? Why do we spend time and hours in prayer in studying God's word? Is it just for us? It is for you, church. And hopefully you have other church members coming to church considering ways to stimulate you and to encourage you to love Christ and obey Him more. The question is, where would you rather be? Where would you rather be? Right? If you're watching online, fine, be there. Fight for that time that you're worshiping, you're singing songs. We have our praise team practicing the song, not just because they want to be here, that they could just look good and sing. That's not about that. They're taking the time so they know that they could help you grow in your walk with God, even through music. Amen? Be thankful. Be in prayer for them in their preparation week after week. Where would you rather be? Number five, we're called to pick up one another. It says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Encourage, the word here, the encourage is so interesting that the writer of Hebrews concludes with a call to encourage one another. The word encourage does not set aside truth, but rather as you speak truth to one another, you do it with gentleness. It is reminding each other about God's promises, right? Christians are to encourage one another. A word of encouragement offered at the right moment can be the difference between staying strong in the faith or collapsing along the way. Believers ought to be sensitive to one another's needs for encouragement, ready to be supportive. And that's something I have seen, church. And I have heard prayer. Can I tell you, this past Wednesday, I've been encouraged with a prayer from our sister. someone prayed for me this past Wednesday in our prayer meeting. Can I tell you how I was so encouraged? Because I've been down all week. I've been sharing my wife that I've been discouraged. And I couldn't tell anyone. But when she saw me laying in bed and wondering why you're so quiet, it's not like me, I'm quiet. When you know when I'm quiet, you know there's something wrong with me. So she encouraged me. She talked to me. Then just yesterday, a brother told me, I've been praying for you all this time. And other times where a sister or brother have told me, Pastor, I've been praying for you. But last week, I was just so down. I know I was so anxious about meeting together, how many people are going to show up. And were, you know, I've just been so concerned about your spiritual walk that I'm taking apart the burden in me instead of relying on God. Instead of casting my cares on Him, yet I'm trying to carry that burden upon myself. And I had to repent of that. And I had to have this crazy conversation with God. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. This is your church. These are your people. Why am I so worried? Why am I so anxious about them? Where are they in their walk? I was pleading before God. Because you know why? Because I can't see you. I haven't seen you for the last 11 weeks. Yes, I've seen you for a moment. But I was just struggling as a pastor. So I had to share that with my wife. And I'm thankful for you, sisters and brothers who have taken the time to pray for me. Christians are to encourage one another. A word of encouragement, church, right? Just you being there without even saying anything, it's an encouragement, right? When someone is hurting, do you really have to say something all the time? No, just be there, right? One of the most encouragement that you could do to someone who's hurting is just be there. Be present. Be there, right? You don't have to think about what to say. You don't need to think and text your pastor, Pastor, I have so-and-so that needs encouragement. What Bible verse do I give? Turn off that phone and just be there. Cry with that person. Hold that person's hand. Well, not right now, but, right? You know what I'm talking about. Let's open some Bible, right? Let's look up some verses about encouragement. I want you guys to write this down. The Bible gives several examples of encouragement and commands for believers to encourage each other. All right, we're going to be turning. You guys ready? Acts 4:36. Let's start with there. Acts 4:36. Okay, let's pull it up there on the screen. Acts 4:36. Let's start on verse 34. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or households sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each other as to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of what? Encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus. Verse 36, right? An encouragement. Chapter 15, verse 32 of Acts. So write that verse down, right? Especially Acts 4:36. So 15:32. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. They did what? They encouraged, right? They strengthen who? Their brothers and sisters. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. One of my favorite chapter in Romans. Romans 12, verse 6 and 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them in prophecy in proportion to our faith. In verse 8, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Chapter 15, verse 4 and 5 of Romans. Chapter 15. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 22. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Actually, let's read verse 21. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. That he will what? He will encourage your heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. I can go on, church. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Philemon, verse 7. Hebrews 3:13, as we have read. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. It's impossible to stimulate, to encourage someone else to love and good deeds if we are not around them. Encouragement is primarily a face-to-face thing, but for now, we can do it virtually. Amen? I mean, I've seen, you know, my wife is in Bible study with small group, with accountability group virtually. I've seen the young people doing it online. We might not be able to see face-to-face. I mean, now we can. With a mask on, with a 6 feet, right? Let's respect each other. We could do that. So the word, church, today is this. We gather together to share our faith, to strengthen one another in the Lord. It's fascinating to note that this should increase with each passing day. It's interesting that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, he connects with the second coming. It says, each day we get closer to the Lord's return, we should also be increasing our encouragement of one another. The world is getting more and more hostile to the gospel. The church should be an oasis for the believer. We should long for the opportunity to see each other each Sunday, each fellowship that we get. Amen? And we should spend our time stimulating and exhorting each other to pursue Christ. It's interesting that in the same way that we are less likely to attend church than the early Christians, despite our lack of persecution, we are also less likely to think about the Lord's return. I mean, the last couple of weeks, a lot of people, man, I think Christ is coming back. Then what are you doing then? How are you encouraging one another? Right? They're so focused on getting ready with their stuff that Christ is coming soon, but they're not getting ready spiritually. So as we get closer to the day when Christ will return, we will face many spiritual struggles and even times of persecution. Anti-Christian forces will grow in strength. Difficulties should never be excuses for missing church services. Yes, for now, right? Right, with all this thing as I close, right? I know it's difficult right now for some of you to attend in-person fellowship, and that's okay. But if everything goes back to normal, I expect you to be here. Amen? I expect every one of us to be in our fellowship. There's no reason for you to be watching online unless you're sick, unless you have work, right? But you're called to be here. I know there's some difficulties perhaps, right? But we need each other. We need you. I need you. You need me. So the writer of Hebrews, as I close, believes that we are better off thinking of others when we attend when we attend fellowship. In fact, the writer believes that if we are faithful at preparing, practicing, pursuing, making it a priority, and picking each other up, that we will be faithful to Christ and be active participants in what Christ is doing in our lives today. The church is not a place that you go to. The church is a people you grow with. H.B. Charles said that. Whether you like it or not, God appointed church gatherings to strengthen, to encourage your soul. Whether you like it or not, can I be strong with that? Because I need to tell you this. As a follower of Christ, forget your self-preference, right? God appointed church gatherings. And this is what we see in the book of Acts. Right? To encourage your soul, to encourage me. So, in closing, gather with the saints. Let's gather together, church. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Our gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you, Father, for giving us hope. Despite of all this despair and all the chaos that's happening around us, there is hope in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for this message in our church that I have a privilege of pastoring. I'm thankful for our elders. I'm thankful for our teachers. God, I pray that at Resol Bible Church, we would stir up one another, that we would encourage one another, that we would encourage one another to love and good works, that we would encourage one another in Christ every time we gather together. I pray for this, for other churches as well. I pray for Pastor Jeff Mooney's church, for PJ, for the church here in CICF, or even for CBC with Pastor Titus, with Pastor Greg Laurie, and all the other churches here in our community, Father, in Eastvale, Corona, Riverside, Loma Linda, wherever, Lord, in our communities, in Jurupo Valley, in Chino. God, I pray for all the churches, especially now, as they have regathered together. Some are still thinking of gathering, Lord, and reopening their churches. We pray, Father, for them, that they would make fellowship a priority in their lives. We pray for all the pastors, for wisdom, for the church leaders that I have mentioned today. Lord, we pray for our community in our churches that is motivating and encouraging one another to grow in relationship with you, to make your love known in the world. And we pray for love and good works to flow from our churches, from our church today. God, that if it's not for Christ, then we have no reason to motivate and to encourage others. We need Christ. We need to make Christ, we need to treasure Christ more and to make him more priority in our lives. Lord, I pray every week and all during the week for that matter. God, make us to desire for us to be together, to live out Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Oh God, that we would not neglect a meeting together. Lord, even at this time where some of our church members are still there in their home, and I thank you for them. And they have their very reason why they're still at home, and thank you, God. And I pray that while they're at home, that they would make it a priority to attend the virtual Bible studies and different fellowship that's happening in our ministries today. Because, Father, we know that we need each other. You have called us to encourage one another. So thank you. And Lord, I pray that we would be courageous enough and be bold enough to express what's going on in our lives, to open up, Lord, that we would be humble, Father, to share what's going on in our lives, so we could, that someone else can encourage us, and that I can be an encouragement to them as well. And so Father, grant us this new mindset perhaps, or a refreshment for us, Lord. Thank you for refreshing our hearts and minds. We thank you for the working of your Spirit. We thank you for our church families, Lord, that are here today, and those who are watching online, and those who are visitors from our virtual fellowship as well. We thank you. We thank you for the working of your Spirit in each and every one of us. We give all the glory and the praises to you. And everyone said, amen and amen.